There's a book of epitaphs by Raymond Brown, and it's kind of amusing what some people have placed upon their tombstones. One says, "Here snug in her grave my wife doth lie. Now she's at rest, and so am I." Another one said, "Here lies the body of Thomas Proctor. He lived and died without a doctor." Some of us may be that way. But here's the one that gets the most attention. You probably heard this one before. It says, "Paul, stranger, when you pass me by, as you are now, so once was I. As I now am, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me." Somebody wrote underneath that, "To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went." That's true. Be careful who you follow. Sadly, a lot of people following the wrong people. They're following the wrong people. It's going to lead them to eternal doom. But in our text, we find an epitaph. It says, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." Would you agree with that? Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Now, what a contrast this is going to be from our last message this morning. In chapter 14, verse 9 through 11, we saw those whose eternal destiny was a place where, it says in verse 11, the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night. We saw those who have accepted the mark of the beast, and they were doomed to eternity in hell. But when we come to these two verses, we see how those who know the Lord, we see the eternal destiny that awaits them. And it's quite a contrast from the first group. Instead of hell, there's heaven. Instead of eternal restlessness, there's eternal restfulness. Instead of being under God's condemnation, they are under God's commendation. Instead of his indignation, it's a time of celebration. Now, this is the group we want to be in. Amen? Let's look at this. Verses 12 and 13. It said, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." So we see what is awaiting those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. This is especially speaking of those who get saved during the tribulation period. Many are going to get saved during this time. We talked about this morning about there's an angel that's going to come, and he's going to preach the gospel. Seemingly, he's going to be up in the heavens, and everybody on earth is going to be able to see him and hear him, and they're going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're going to give one more chance to believe and be saved. And those who are saved, this is what is awaiting them. They may be martyred, but they're going to find out it pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. It will be worth it all, no matter what we go through, because of what God has awaiting us. For these tribulation martyrs, to serve Jesus, there's a great cost involved here, because most of them will be martyred. They will, according to the Bible, be beheaded by the Antichrist. But they're going to find out that it's worth it all. There is a payday ahead for those who know the Lord and serve him. So let's note these two verses and learn more about those who die in the Lord. First of all, we see a reputation here of their faithfulness. The reputation of faithfulness. That is the feature that really magnifies them, is their faithfulness in God. It says in verse 12, "Here is the patience of the saints." That word patience is a word that really describes their faithfulness. Here is the patience, the faithfulness of these saints. Now, as we think about them, I want us to examine ourselves tonight. Are we faithful? How faithful are we? Do people call you faithful? Is that some way that they would describe you? I heard an interesting story about a king of Portugal way back in the 1700s. He paid almost $250 million for the title Rei Fidelissimo, which means most faithful king. It doesn't say who he paid for that title. Probably, I guess, the Pope, the Vatican. I don't know who else you would pay for a title. But this was $234 million, and this is in 1741. That's a lot of money. Matter of fact, he bankrupted the country to pay this. All the wealth that they had gained from their extracted from Brazil, he exhausted it to gain this title. And he died. There wasn't enough money in the treasury to bury him. But he had the title he wanted, Most Faithful King. Well, these believers we're talking about tonight could carry that title, and they didn't have to pay a lot of money for it, but it did cost them. They were the most faithful of God's servants. They didn't buy that with money. They bought it with their own blood through martyrdom. So our attention is drawn to their faithfulness. And patience here speaks of how they constantly served God. They constantly served God. It speaks of their endurance. And everything they had to go through, they remained faithful. Now this shows us, folks, that living for God is not a bed of roses. All right. Is that right? Yeah. Now some preachers say it is. Some will say if you become a Christian, you'll never have any more problems. You'll be healthy and wealthy and wise and everything will go your way. That's not what the Bible says. Amen. Jesus himself told his disciples, the world hates me and they're going to hate you. Amen. We're going to be hated for what we believe and what we stand for. So, especially during the tribulation period, these saints of God are going to be marked for death. They're going to be hunted down by the forces of the Antichrist. It won't be a time when these Christians will have bumper stickers that say, honk if you love Jesus. Now, if you've got that bumper sticker, I'm not making fun of you, but one preacher saw that and he made a bumper sticker that says, tithe if you love Jesus. Any fool can honk. Only a preacher would do that, right? But this is going to be a time of great persecution for those who take a stand for the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to be faithful regardless of all the dangers and difficulties that come their way. But not only that they constantly served God, they cheerfully served God. Because that word speaks of a cheerful endurance. In spite of everything they're going through, in spite of all the dangers and difficulties, they do not see living for Jesus as a burden. They see it as a blessing. I think we should too, amen? It's a blessing to be a child of God and a disciple of Christ. These are not depressed people. They're delighted people. They're not pouting, they're shouting. The joy of the Lord is their strength. We see that in Nehemiah, don't we? There was a time when the people were weeping. They were sorry. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 says, neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Folks, listen. The world cannot rob us of our joy. If our joy is in the Lord Jesus Christ, they cannot steal that from us. The joy of the Lord, that's our strength. That keeps us faithful. What a great example we see of their faithfulness here. Now, we tend to let little things bother us, keep us from being faithful, from serving the Lord as we ought. We'll let a headache keep us out of church. Or coming time, they're going to lose their heads. They're going to be beheaded. And they'll gladly accept it to remain true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Things get a little rough sometimes. We want to mope around and act like we've lost our best friend. But we need to be like these folks the Bible speaks of here. We need to express a joy and a cheerfulness, even in the most adverse circumstances. That's when our testimony is most effective. When the world sees you going through difficult times, instead of pouting, you're praising God. You're giving all the glory and honor unto God. That's the testimony this world needs to see, especially in these last days in which we're living. I've told you before, I like to listen to testimonies. You can go on YouTube, and there are certain sites, it's just testimonies of Christians. And I was watching some, it's amazing to me the Muslims that are getting saved over in Asia. And they've got their testimonies online. Now, these are people living in Muslim countries where Christianity is persecuted, extremely persecuted. These people have been saved out of false religion. They're excited and joyful to know Jesus Christ. They go out in the streets and share their testimony, knowing how dangerous that is. And they do it joyfully. And I watch this, and I'm just amazed. I'm amazed at these people. Here in America, we can't even cross the street to talk to our neighbor about the Lord. And knowing that they probably won't shoot us. 9 times out of 10, they won't shoot you. Yes, that 10th time you're worried about, isn't it? Are we faithful? I read about a man who brought a framed picture of his girlfriend to the photography shop. He wanted a copy made of it. The photographer noticed an inscription on the back of this picture. It said, "My dearest Tom, I love you with all my heart. I love you more and more each day. I will love you forever and ever. I'm yours for all eternity." Signed, Diane. Then he noticed at the bottom of P.S. says, "If we ever break up, I want this picture back." Now she just promised to love him forever and ever. But she's already anticipating a breakup. Isn't that the way it is? Our love and faithfulness is so conditional. I'll love you if. I'll love you when. I'll be loyal. But there's conditions. You know, some people just have a lot of quit in them. Amen. You know any people like that? They just got a lot of quit in them. Doesn't take much for them to quit. But not these believers we're talking about here. There's no conditions here for their faithfulness. They are sold out to God. Are we? Are we sold out to the Lord? We should be. Secondly, I want you to note a revelation here of faithfulness. Their faith, it's not only declared, but it's demonstrated. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. See, it's demonstrated here two ways. First of all, their faithfulness to the word, to the commandments of God. That word keep means to guard from loss. They're going to take very seriously the commandments of God. Whatever he tells them to do, they will wholeheartedly do. I once saw a little saying that I like. It said, "Never have anything your way. Have everything Yahweh." That's cute, isn't it? I guess you know who Yahweh is? Jehovah. So instead of having everything your way, have everything Yahweh. Let him decide for for you. Look to him for guidance. That's a good motto for our life. See, these folks did not live for self. They placed their will aside and sought to do God's will. God's word had absolute authority. Now, what do we say? We say that this Bible is our absolute rule of faith and practice. Amen? I said it's what we say. Maybe it's what I say, but I hope you agree with that. This is our sole rule of faith and practice. What does the Scripture say? Thus saith the Lord. That's what we're most interested in. Whatever God says to do, we should obey. During the war between the states, I read General Lee one day sent word to Stonewall Jackson that the next time he came in the direction of the headquarters where Lee was, he said, I'd like to see you on a matter of no great importance. Just when you have a chance, come by. I need to talk to you. General Jackson received the message, and immediately, rising up early the next morning, he rode 8 miles to Lee's headquarters in a storm, in a snowstorm. He arrived just as Lee was finishing his breakfast. General Lee was shocked to see Jackson. He said, "What in the world are you doing coming through a storm like this?" Here's what Jackson said. Listen to this. "You said you wished to see me. General Lee's slightest wish is a supreme command to me." Your slightest wish. Folks, that's the way we should be about the Lord Jesus Christ. His slightest wish should be treated as a supreme command. Amen. That's the way it should be. Whatever the commands of God are, they are supreme. When it comes to obedience, we ought to echo the words of Joshua 24:24, where the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey." We'll serve him. We'll obey him no matter what. Because his commands are not up for discussion. They're not up for debate. They demand our prompt and our absolute obedience. So we see a faithfulness to the word. And secondly, faithfulness to the Lord. Not only commandments of God, but also the faith of Jesus. In our message this morning, we noted those who will worship the beast. They'll bow down to his image. They'll take his mark. But for these tribulation saints, they only bow their knee to the living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, he's the love of their life. They will be loyal only to him. That's the way we ought to be. He is our Lord and our Master. We should never, ever be ashamed to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He doesn't need any secret disciples, does he? Right. Some want to be a secret disciple and not really openly testify of their faith in Christ. I once read about Commander Booth Tucker. He married the daughter of General William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army. And they were sent on a mission. One day he was preaching about how that God will sustain us and provide everything we stand in need of. A man stood up in the back. He said, "I challenge that statement. If you were as I am, with 5 children who have been robbed of their mother by death, hearing them cry for one who cannot come to them, would you say that Christ is sufficient?" The preacher after the service tried to counsel with the man, but to no avail. A few days later, Tucker's own wife was killed in an accident. 2 days later, standing beside her body, he said, "I don't know whether my friend of 7 days ago is here, but I wish to say that I now stand where he stands. My children also cry for one who cannot come to them. But I want to say that in these 2 days of darkness, I have found Christ to be sufficient." Amen. Reminds me of Horatio Spafford. You know the story? The man who wrote, "It Is Well With My Soul." You know the reason he wrote that? His wife and daughters were traveling across the ocean to Europe. Their ship sank. And only his wife survived. The daughters perished. He went across the ocean to join his wife. She had made it to Europe. He was going to be with her. When they got to that spot where that ship sank, the captain told him, "This is where the ship went down." And he sat down and wrote the words to, "It is well with my soul." He found Christ was sufficient. Have you ever discovered that in your life? During the hard times, during the dark times, you just feel the presence of God with you. And he is sufficient. So we see the faithfulness of these tribulation saints. They find in Jesus a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. One that will never fail them, even though they die as martyrs. You know, I think God gives martyrs the grace to die. Don't you? You've read the stories. Christians burned at the stake. And how they sing while the flames are around them. They're praising God. How's that happen? God gives them dying grace. And we should meet something like this. I believe God will give us the grace to meet whatever comes. Don't you? We love him. The Bible says because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. Then thirdly, we see a reward for faithfulness. See that in verse 13. "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." Here's one of 7 Beatitudes you find in the book of Revelation. It means to be supremely blessed and by extension to be fortunate. Now, when somebody dies, you hear somebody will say, "Well, he's better off." And that's true. If it's a Christian, they are better off. Amen? Amen? They leave a world of suffering and sorrow. They go home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they're much better off. There's a heavenly homecoming awaiting us. Many glorious benefits that will come for us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Especially these tribulation saints. How much better off they're going to be when they go home to be with the Lord. They live under great persecution, much grief. But glory is awaiting them. Death is going to bring to them eternal reward. They're going to find out, as will we, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. 2 thoughts here in closing. First, you see, they're resting from their labors. They're resting. The beast may have put them to death, but the Bible says that death is just a promotion for us. Promoted from this life to a blessed life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. As soon as you leave this body, you're in the presence of God. Think about Stephen. Old Deacon Stephen was stoned to death for preaching. And while being stoned, he looked up. The Bible says in Acts 7:56, Stephen said, "I see heaven open and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father." Now notice that "I see Jesus standing." Usually we read of Jesus sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. I like to think that Jesus stood up to welcome Stephen home. To welcome his faithful saint into glory. He stood up. There's going to be a lot of rejoicing in heaven. So, preacher, what's heaven going to be like? Well, it's going to be all that the loving heart of God can desire. All that the omniscient mind of God can conceive. And all that the omnipotent hand of God can perform. Amen. What a wonderful place we're going to be going to see. The dead are rejoicing in heaven. And that word work, by the way, is an interesting word here. It's not so much referring to the act of work, but more of the weariness that comes from work. When it comes to working for Jesus, sometimes we get tired. Now, we shouldn't get tired of the work, but we can get tired in the work. You know what I mean? We get tired. I get weary at times. Jesus got tired when he was here in the flesh. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Luke 8:46, Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive virtue has gone out of me." That word virtue is really strength or power had gone out of him. So Jesus, as he ministered, he got tired. He got drained physically. There's going to be a time when we can rest from all of our labors here on earth. Not only a place of resting, but there are rewards for their labors. Their works do follow them. Now let me show you something here. We say all the time, good works cannot bring you to heaven, right? But good works do follow you to heaven. Did you get that? Good works won't take you to heaven, but they will follow you to heaven. There's coming a day we'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to examine our life to see whether or not he can reward us for a faithful work that we've done in this life. The idea of their works following them is the idea of receiving a heavenly reward. The last battle's been fought, the last mile has been run, and there awaits them a heavenly reward. Let me again read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 15. We look at this a lot, I guess, but it's something for us to always keep in mind. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." He's our foundation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, now he gives two categories. Gold, silver, precious stone, that's one category. Wood, hay, stubble's another. Every man's work that follows him shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it. That's the day of judgment. Because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. That's people using gold, silver, and precious stones to build with. Verse 15 says, "If any man's work shall be burned," what happens to wood, hay, stubble? It burns up, doesn't it? "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer a loss." Uh-oh, he lost his salvation. Is that what? No, wait, let's read the rest of this. "He shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." What did he lose? His rewards. No rewards awaiting those who did not build on the foundation of faithful life. Some are going to have nothing waiting for them when they get to heaven. Why? Because they were too busy storing up treasure on earth instead of storing up treasure in heaven. Say, "Preacher, how do we store up treasure in heaven?" Well, I thought you'd ask me that, so there are three ways you can do this. Give your time to the Lord. Invest your time into the cause of Christ. Be faithful in church attendance. Get involved in the events, the things that we're trying to do. Invest your time in the Lord. Secondly, give your tithes to the Lord. I think that's the way you're laying up treasure in heaven. You're investing your money in the church and in mission work. Folks, it's the wisest investment you can make with your money. Amen. That's true. Give your time, give your tithes, and number three, give your talents. Whatever natural talents you have, whatever spiritual gifts that God has given you, use that to the honor and glory of God. Now, if you'll use your time, your tithes, and your talents, if you'll invest these things in the cause of Christ, you'll be laying up treasure in heaven. Those things will be waiting for you when you get there. Now, our works will follow us. I guess our lack of works will follow us. For those who have not been faithful in serving the Lord. Folks, there's a payday coming. For those who will serve God and be faithful. The title of my message, It Will Be Worth It All. That's the title of a song, isn't it? Listen to the words of the song in closing here. It says, oft times the day seems long. Our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. Another verse said, life's day will soon be over. All storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burdens down. Of course, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Amen. Brother Russell, y'all come, we'll have a hymn of invitation. Yes, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. In these last two messages, we've seen two groups of people, two different destinies. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. They're going to heaven. But cursed be those who die without the Lord. They're going to hell. To which group do you belong? Lost friend, repent of your sins tonight. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a hell to shun. There's a heaven to gain. We want you to go to heaven with us. Now, you might get mad at us for that. We don't want you to go to hell. We want you to go to heaven with us. That's why your friends witness to you. That's why your family witnesses to you. They want to make sure you're on the right road, heading in the right direction. As we stand together, just remember what you do with Christ in this life will determine what Christ will do with you.